Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
Book of Revelation, chapter 5, reading from verse 1, "And I saw to the right of the one sitting upon the throne, a scroll had been written on the inside and on the back, having been sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming in a great voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and to break the seals of it?' And no one was able in heaven, nor upon the earth, neither under the earth, to open the scroll, neither to see it. And I was weeping much, because no one worthy was found to open and to read the scroll, neither to see it. And one from out of the elders says to me, 'Stop weeping. Behold the Lion, the one being from out of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, conquered or overcame to open the scroll and to break the seven seals of it. And I saw, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, a lamb had been standing as having been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, the ones having been sent out into all of the earth. And he came and had taken the scroll from out of the right of the one sitting upon the throne. And when he took the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell before the Lamb, each one having harps and golden bowls being full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they are singing a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to receive the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain and you purchased or redeemed us to God in your blood from out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And you made us to God, to our God, kings and priests,' or as the oldest manuscripts say, 'You have made us a kingdom and priests. And we will reign or rule over the earth.' And I saw and I heard the sound of many angels from around the throne, and the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying in a great voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb, the one who has been slain, to receive the power, wealth, wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And all creation, which is in heaven, and in the earth, and under the earth, and what things are upon the sea, and all things that are in them, I heard saying, to the one sitting upon the throne and to the Lamb, the blessing and the honor and the glory and the strength or might forever and ever. And the four living creatures were saying, Amen.'" Notice the verb tense. They were continuously interjecting amen into these the song and presentation. "And the 24 elders fell, and they gave worship to the one living forever and ever." We've spent some time in chapters 4 and 5. Remember, chapter 4, verse 1 begins the third section of the book of Revelation. It's what will happen after the church, what will be happening in heaven. We saw in chapter 4, verses 2 through 8, we saw nine things. We saw a throne. John saw, secondly, one sitting on the throne. He also saw a rainbow and 24 thrones and 24 elders sitting on those thrones. He saw lightnings and thunders and sounds coming out from the throne. He saw seven lamps burning, which are the seven spirits of God before the throne. He saw a large glassy sea, and he saw four living creatures. Then in chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, the activity that whenever the living creatures gave blessing and honor and glory to the one sitting on the throne, the 24 elders would fall down and throw their crowns to the feet of the one sitting upon the throne. So the four living creatures not only are responsible for transporting and being around the throne, but from them come the directions, an orderly way in which heaven functions. Whatever the four living creatures do, the 24 elders have a response. And we will see that when the 24 elders respond, everyone else in heaven responds. It's a very orderly arrangement in heaven. But then we saw in chapter 5, we saw that chapter 5 has four divisions, all indicated by the two Greek words, kaidon, and I saw. And that breaks us down for our four divisions of chapter 5. We saw the first division in the first verse. We saw the scroll. That a scroll was seen to the right of the one sitting upon the throne. We saw that this scroll, according to Jewish usage, Jeremiah chapter 32, and as well as Ezekiel chapter 2, that it is the title deed to the earth. In those days, they would write out on the inside of a scroll the requirements for redemption, and they would roll the scroll up from each end. And at each major part within the contract or within the requirements, they would seal that part in the scroll. This scroll was sealed with seven seals. And the one who is sitting upon the throne has it off to his right. Well, verse 1 is the scroll. Secondly, in verses 2 through 5, the search. The search. From this, a strong angel comes and says with a great voice, "Who is worthy to take the scroll and to open and to break its seals?" And all of creation was silent. We saw in verse 3, no one was able to come, take the scroll, or to loosen its seals. Verse 4, John said he began to weep. He wept much, convulsively, because all of history had now come to that one moment. Adam had lost the world to Satan. Jesus Christ came and redeemed it back. But the redemption is not complete until one is worthy, or as the Hebrew word expresses it, one is eligible to take the scroll and to break its seals. Then it can be redeemed. So, as John was weeping, verse 5 says, one from the 24 elders came up and told him, "Stop weeping. The lion from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, he overcame, he conquered, so that he might take the book and break the seals." and see in it. Well, verse 1, we have the scroll. In verses 2 through 5, the search. In verses 6 to 10, the Savior. John said, I looked. And he said, I saw a lamb had been standing as slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. We know from Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, that John was told that he would be given the revelation of Jesus Christ through an angel, but it would be with signs and symbols. I don't expect to get to heaven and see the Lord with seven horns and seven eyes. I expect it to be representation that he is all-knowing, all-seeing, and he's all-powerful. The horns represent power and authority. From 1 Kings into the book of Daniel, into the book of Amos, horns are used to show power and authority. The number 7 means completeness. The Lord has complete power and authority. And he sees and knows all things completely. But he saw this lamb. The word lamb itself is a diminutive of Arnos, which is a larger lamb. This is a pet lamb. This is a little lamb. And according to the book of Exodus, the children of Israel would take a little lamb, a little pet lamb, and for four days he would be the family pet. But after 4 days, it would be slain. Blood put over the doorpost, and they would be required to eat the lamb completely, not allowed to have leftovers. So here's Jesus, standing as having been slain. The word slain doesn't mean to kill. It means to slaughter or to butcher. He was standing there with his crucifixion marks, in complete power and authority, and knowing and seeing all things. Verse 7, he came and had taken the scroll from the right of the one sitting on the throne. And when he took it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders, they fall before the Lamb, each of them having harps and golden bowls, which are the prayers of the saints. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus taught the disciples to pray, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done upon the earth as it is in heaven. All of the prayers of the saints are now presented, and the fulfillment of those prayers are about to take place. Verse 9, they sing a new song, that the Lamb is worthy, for four reasons. He says, because you were slain, because you have redeemed us, very important, that little pronoun, also indicating to us that these 24 elders represent the church, you have redeemed us from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. All of the saved are there. Thirdly, in verse 10, you made us a kingdom and priests. And fourthly, we will rule with you upon the earth. But now in verses 11 through 14 for this morning, very quickly, notice in verse 11, Kaedon, and I saw, this is the fourth division of the chapter, and it's marked by two sections, both by the term I heard. In verses 11 and 12, he heard one song. In verses 13 and 14, he heard another. And there are three groups participating with each song. This first one is comprised of many angels, the living creatures, and the 24 elders. And we are told that their number is myriads of myriads. That's the Greek word, myriados. It is the highest number for which the Greeks have a word for. They designate it as 10,000, meaning innumerable. He says 10,000 of 10,000s and thousands of thousands. In other words, more than two. There were a million or so angels along with the four living creatures and the 24 elders. The same statement, the myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, are also found in Daniel chapter 7, verse 10. So he saw this multitude, verse 12, and he heard them. Verse 12, saying with a great voice, this great doxology, "Worthy is the Lamb, the one who has been slain." And now it kind of seems kind of strange that to him would be inscribed these various characteristics, but it's in recognition that the Lamb is the one who has the capacity and, in fact, is responsible for these seven things. And those of you following the Greek text, notice that there's one definite article with all seven things. They're all to be seen as a group, one group. Those seven things are, you are worthy to receive power. Secondly, and wealth. Thirdly, and wisdom. Fourthly, and strength. Fifthly, and honor. Sixthly, and glory. And last of all, and blessing. He is being recognized as the one who has all the power and the wealth and the wisdom and the strength and the honor and the glory and blessing. The word blessing, eulogia, actually means to speak well of. In the New Testament, this is the word used for the blessing at mealtime. It doesn't mean to pronounce a blessing on the food. It means to speak well of. It means to thank the Lord, to speak well to him about what he's provided for us. And I learned the hard way, because in my prayers over my food eating times, I would ask for God's blessing on my food. When I realized that my hamburger from Jack in the Box, I got food poisoning, I realized that began to search again and find out about prayer. It's not a protection from the food. It's to speak well of the Lord for the food, to thank him that he has given, made provision. So then in verse 13, here's the second song. And all of creation, which is in heaven, and in the earth, and under the earth, and what things are upon the sea, and all the things that are in them, not just the sea, but everything. All the things that are in heaven, and in the earth, and under the earth. This is all of creation. He says, I heard, saying, here's your three people participating. First song, it was the living creatures and the elders and the myriads of angels. Here you have all of creation, the four living creatures and the 24 elders. All of creation is saying, notice this, very important, they are saying to the one who is sitting upon the throne and to the Lamb. The same worship that is given to the Father is also given to the Lamb. They're both worshiped. Later in the book of Revelation, John is going to begin to worship the angel who has revealed to him all of these things. And the angel says, don't worship me, worship God. It is interesting that the times when Jesus received worship, he never corrected people. It's because he's God. But Thomas had the same kind of experience. John chapter 20. The Lord appeared to the disciples, except for Thomas was not with them. So when Thomas showed up and the disciple said, "We've seen the Lord," Thomas says, "I will not believe unless I put my finger in the nail prints in his hands, unless I thrust my hand into his side where the spear went in, unless I experience the actual crucifixion marks on the Lord, I will not believe." And so when the Lord appeared in the room, he said, "Thomas, behold my hands and my side." You see, he had the crucifixion marks even in his resurrected body. "Come here and see, it's me." Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." Jesus never corrected him. He received the worship. You remember the story. I was doing some gardening at a ranch, and some Jehovah's Witnesses had come up to talk to the people at the ranch. The people were not home, so they decided they were going to evangelize me. Yes, they probably figured this poor gardener really needs to see the truth. So I sometimes play the middleman. I said to them, "Well, you know, the Christians, you know, they say that Jesus is God." "Oh, they're all wrong, you know." "Well, now, you know, one of the arguments that they use is that in John chapter 20, Thomas says to Jesus, 'My Lord and my God.' And that's blasphemy unless he's God." So this guy said to me, he says, "Oh, that's not what it means. It means like Thomas said, like we would if we saw a ghost appear in the room. 'Oh, my God.'" You know, like using God's name in vain or something. It was just a reaction. Kind of interesting how people interpret. After seeing the crucified marks in his hands and his side, Thomas believed, "My Lord and my God." All of creation now, along with the living creatures we'll see in a moment, and the 24 elders, they are worshiping the one sitting upon the throne and to the Lamb, both equal. And this is what they say. And by the way, there are four things, and each one of them have a definite article. They're all separate in and of themselves. So they say to the one sitting upon the throne and to the Lamb, first of all, blessing, the blessing, the one who is worthy to be well spoken of, and the honor. No honor to anybody else, but to the one sitting on the throne and the Lamb. And the glory. And the might. The word might or strength is the word kratos in Greek, and it means a grip, control. Forever and ever. Verse 14. And the four living creatures were continuously saying, "Amen." So you can imagine that they began, as they looked to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb, and they began to say, "To you is the blessing, four living creatures. Amen." You know? "And the honor. Amen. And the glory. Amen. And the strength, their might. Amen. Forever and ever." Four living creatures going, "Amen." Imperfect tense, continuously. And then the 24 elders. After the song was over and the four living creatures said their amens, the 24 elders fell and gave worship to the one living forever and ever. Kind of interesting that in the Greek text, on that last phrase, some manuscripts, it ends with, "They fell down and worshiped." Because the term, "to the one living forever and ever," they didn't know what to do with it, because it's in the dative case, and the one living forever and ever, according to the song, is both the one sitting on the throne and the Lamb. The 24 elders are worshiping them as if they are one. To the one living forever and ever, showing his deity. Now in John chapter 5, verse 22, John 5:22, Jesus said that all judgment has been given by the Father to the Son. John 5:22. The Father does not judge, but the Son does, because all judgment has been given to him. Now that the only one who is worthy and eligible has come and taken the scroll, and all praise has broken out in heaven, he's about ready to break the seals and open the scroll, and at the breaking of each seal comes judgment upon the earth. It is an awesome thing to realize that even now people are living their lives out in rejection of Christ and have no idea the enormity of the judgment that is coming upon the earth. The judgment that must come before his second coming and he takes possession. The enemies must be rooted out. Christ has redeemed. So it is interesting that in this last song also that all of creation responded. Paul in Romans 8:19 through 22 says, right now all of creation is groaning. Stenazo, in the first hour we had our study in James chapter 5 and said, stop complaining against one another. It's this word stenazo, groaning. All of creation is groaning, waiting for the revelation of the sons of God, waiting for our redemption, so that even all of creation itself can be released from under Satan's influence and power. All of creation is going to go, okay, now we're going to see redemption. Jesus now is set. We will see this one day. Set the scene for us around the throne and how the function is around the throne, the activities, and one day we will see him come and take the scroll, receive worship and praise as the one who is worthy and eligible. And we too will see the devastating, horrible things that will come upon the earth by the God of love. I used to feel sorry for them until I read through the book of Revelation and found out that when the Lord comes back at his second coming and he rules on earth for 1,000 years, Satan is locked up. And we rule and reign with him for 1,000 years here upon the earth. But there will also be unbelievers who have been left over from the tribulation. They too will live under the peace of Christ and the rule and reign of Christ for that 1,000 years. And then we leave, and Satan is let loose for a short time so that they can make a decision of who they want to follow. And it says they go back to worshiping demons and drug use. Can you imagine that? But that is how hard people's hearts are. I also note in Luke chapter 16, you remember the rich man and Lazarus and how the rich man died and opened up his eyes in Hades? And Abraham was seen in, the poor man was seen in Abraham's bosom. Now, if I was the rich man and I was over there and I was in torment, I wouldn't ask for water. I'd say, throw me a rope. But he only wanted comforting in his torment. He did not want out. Why would he not want out? Because then he would have to be with the Lord and his people for eternity. He couldn't handle it. He just wanted to be comforted in his torment. But he didn't want out. People's hearts are hardened. Even living under the reign of Christ for 1,000 years, with peace, joy, and orderliness, no sin, no death, we still go back to serving Satan once he's let out. That's what they want to know. This judgment will be hard and strong. So from chapters 6 through 19, we're going to be studying the breaking of the seven seals and the judgment that is to come upon the earth. Our Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful, not just to have escaped judgment, because we will be accountable to you for how we lived our lives and how we treated one another. And we will experience some judgment from you, but in discipline as our Father towards the child. The judgments that are about to come upon the earth, in fact, are already beginning to take shape as the world governmental systems, the economic and political and religious systems of the world begin to change. We sense the rumbling before the quake. We hear the thunder, see the lightning before the rain comes, and it's about to come. We praise you that the Lamb that was slain is sufficient for our redemption, and that we will praise you one day in heaven. But on the other hand, the awful and awesome judgment that is coming upon the earth for those who have rejected Christ, for those who have said, I want to go my own way for the short time that I have here on the earth. Jesus once said, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Many people are exchanging their souls for the temporariness of what the world has to offer. Lord, cause us to be slow in human reaction towards the world. We pray that you, by your Spirit, would give us endurance to remain under our circumstances and the difficulties of life until the Lord comes. Then there will be relief, and we'll be able to rejoice and celebrate in heaven together of your faithfulness and righteousness. Let us be an encouragement to one another to hold on, remain under, looking and waiting for the coming of the Lord. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.